In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Anyone unwilling to work should not eat. Sounds really harsh, especially coming from Paul, who is usually encouraging people to love one another. But let's take a look at this letter to the Thessalonians and see what Paul might be referring to. This epistle, 2 Thessalonians, was written about the year 50, probably by Paul, or perhaps by one of his followers. There is still some brisk academic debate about that. Either way, it is clearly written in the same style as 1 Thessalonians, even to quoting some of Paul's phrases. And it is a typical letter of exhortation and encouragement written to the congregation in Thessalonica, which was and is still in northern Greece. The letter deals firstly with praising the congregation for their steadfastness in their faith, in the face of being persecuted. Before this passage, Paul, and we will call the author Paul for simplicity's sake, Paul's also describing the apocalyptic expectations of their community. Remember, they were expecting Jesus to come again, and soon, certainly in their lifetime. And they called the second coming the parousia. You might have heard it pronounced parousia, but we're going to say parousia. It's Greek, and it literally means the presence. So the parousia was the time when Jesus would come again, would be present with them, and Satan would be overthrown, and all of the faithful would be gathered to Christ in the new kingdom of eternal peace. They expected Christ's presence to happen at any time, and so they wanted to be ready and to live godly lives in the meantime. But Paul is concerned that people are becoming complacent and idle instead of working to help one another. Christians were known for helping one another and helping those who couldn't help themselves, and Paul wants them to continue doing this. He uses himself as an example, reminding them that when he was with them, he had worked to support himself. You might remember that Paul was a tent maker by trade. Certainly, as their leader, he did deserve to be fed and housed for free, but he wanted to serve as a model for Christian living, so he continued always supporting himself as a tent maker, even as he spread the gospel. So he expects people to work. But notice here, he says, anyone who is unwilling to work should not eat. He does not say that people who are unable to work should not eat. That would fly in the face of the gospel and be contrary to everything that he had been teaching them. And certainly, there was a strong tradition of hospitality to travelers and strangers in the ancient Near East. Again and again, we see incidents in Scripture where people are feeding those who are unknown to them. And of course, there are stories of Jesus feeding the multitudes. But the Christians worked, and then they pooled their resources in common. So they would cook and eat common meals. What Paul is saying here is that the community should not support idlers, the lazy, the freeloaders. Paul is setting what we might call healthy boundaries here. Not everyone gets a handout, only the people who really need it. Apparently, Paul has heard that this is getting to be a problem in the church in Thessalonica. Some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Perhaps some church members were thinking that since the parousia was imminent, there was no need to plan for the future or to work. Any day now, the world as they knew it might end. Or perhaps they were simply taking advantage of their brothers and sisters' compassion and generosity. Whatever the reason, the situation is unacceptable to Paul. And really, it is bad, both for the community and for the individuals in it, to allow people who are able to do some kind of work to get out of doing it. That kind of situation justifiably causes resentment among those who do the work, and it also exposes the freeloaders to the sin of pride and conceit. The freeloaders begin to think that they might actually be better than others. Life in community means that everyone needs to help in whatever way they are able to help. So Paul is exhorting the community in Thessalonica to be genuine community. Over the past several days, I have seen community in action. I attended the 225th annual convention of our diocese. This is the first time that I've seen the discussion and the reports and the voting, and as I watched, I was struck by the sense of community. Clearly, committees and groups had been working hard on various projects all year, and they were reporting their progress. There was debate about various issues as well, but it was all very respectful. There seemed to be an overarching concern for improving the health of the diocese so that the diocese could better support the parishes in it. Did you know that there are 179 congregations in the Diocese of Virginia? We are the largest diocese in the country. Our history goes back to the first Eucharist celebrated in Jamestown in 1607. Our traditions provide that we are governed by bishops. That's what episcopal refers to. Episcopos means bishop. So part of the health of our diocese means having bishops to lead us. And at convention, we celebrated the welcoming of our new assistant bishop, Jennifer Brooke Davidson, who impressed me with her warmth and her sense of humor, in addition to the depth of her spiritual life. With a background in law, as well as having been a parish priest, she is also well fitted for the hard work of being a bishop. It was encouraging to me to watch the work of the diocese in action at that convention and to imagine Bishop Jennifer's imminent part in it. And as I came home and I returned my focus to our part in this diocesan work, and I think of Christ Church's community, I wonder, as Paul urges the congregation in Thessalonica, how we can make it possible to include everyone in the work of the parish. How can we create opportunities to include everyone in service? Are there people who would like to participate, but who don't see ways to do that? Have you wanted to do something, but not been able to find a way to do it? It would benefit all of us if you would share your ideas and time and talents with the congregation. Take a chance and volunteer, even if it's in a small way. And if you have an idea for something new, tell us. C.S. Lewis, the British novelist and theologian, said, "Next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses." So I think Paul would say, see your neighbor, love your neighbor. Amen.